Beloved, the Father of Lights is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Noah's excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Okay, it's yours. I was going to give it to them. Hallelujah. Please, can I just lift up hands and just bless God for that revelation? God is for us. That's the blessings of the high priest. May his favor be upon you. May his countenance rise upon you. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this day, for reminding us of the blessings that is over our lives, even to our children's children. We bless you because you are mindful to keep that which you've spoken. And this is our confidence that you are able to keep that which has been committed to your care, even to eternity. We give the praise and glory to your name in the name of Jesus. Thank you for our choir that has ministered to us. I pray, Lord of heaven, that you will encourage them. I pray that you will strengthen them. I pray that they will see the good of Jerusalem, even to their old age, in Jesus' name. I ask in this morning, Father, for help, that your spirit will help me, able to bring the word in a clear form, and you'll speak to your people and address situations about their lives in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. Anoint my tongue and make it like the pen of the ready writer in Jesus' name. I ask for the angels to help so that we can minister together this morning to the children of God in Jesus' mighty name. Wherever your people are gathered in your name, Father, honor the name of your Son. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good morning, church. When I thought of what to preach this morning, I sat down in the office running through scriptures as to what to preach. And I felt I'd gotten something that was good enough for this morning. But interestingly, when we were reading the Bible reading, I felt compelled to talk about that. So I've jettisoned my message to talk about that. Amen. And it's very important that we pay attention to why this message is important. And the answer is, we'll find it in verse 2. Though in verse 1, it introduces us to Amaziah, who became king at the age of 25. Praise God. And the Bible was very, very emphatic about, I don't know why they keep telling us about their mother. They said her mother's name was Jehoaddan of Jerusalem. That was the name of the woman. I guess in those days, the mother was very, very influential in the upbringing of children, especially those who would be kings. Praise God. And if the mother was an ungodly woman, chances were the son will also be an ungodly king. Do you understand me? Praise God. But the Bible says he reigned for 29 years in Jerusalem. That was how long he reigned. So 29 plus 25, how long did he last? 54 years. He died at the age of 54. Or is it? Yes, he died at the age of 54, which was technically not what God had promised Israel. Because the minimum, according to David, was supposed to be what? 70. If by manner of strength, you can go 80. Praise God. If your faith is high, you can go 120. Hallelujah. But this guy died young. I want to find out why or what happened to this young man. Why did he derail? And the key is in verse 2. Praise God. Look at verse 2. The Bible says, he did that which was what? Right in the sight of God. But this is the verdict. But not with a perfect heart. You can do what is right in God's sight, but your heart may not be perfect. Men may see what you've done. Men may agree that, oh, these things that you are doing, this is your profession about these things, and this exercise of faith is great. But the Bible said it is the heart. His heart was not perfect with God. What does it mean when a man's heart is not perfect with God? In other words, he was not fully convinced that he needed to follow God to the end. Come what may. Come rain, come sunshine. It was, have you come to that place in life that you are determined? Can we say determined? Hallelujah. Have you come to that place where it says, come rain, come sunshine, I'm not shifting ground? Have you gotten there? Where you have made up your mind that if the heavens fall, you will not change your conviction. This guy was not convinced. I call it situational belief. When you're in Rome, you behave like a Roman. But when you leave Rome, you can become whatever you want to become. Praise God. You are in this thing for convenience. You are in this thing because people have expectations for you. You are in here because people that are around you have a man of influence over you. But let us pull off those props. What will you be? What kind of life will you live? Amen. I don't know whether it was a mom that was influential in his life, that he did what was right. There was another king like that. The Bible told us that he also followed God, but his heart was not right with God. As long as a priest was with him, he did what was right. When that man died, the guy just went one way. So I'm asking you this morning, is your heart right? You should be able to tell me. Paul was writing to the Corinthian church. I'm coming back here. I just want to go to Corinth, if you don't mind. Can we go to Corinth and see what happened in Corinth? Praise the Lord. Corinth, 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians 13:5. I'm coming back to this man, Amaziah. Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, and this is why I want to tell people, see, this is our heart. You know what Jeremiah said? He said, it is what? It's deceitful. Tell your neighbor, your heart is deceitful. You are not telling your neighbor. You are not preaching. Say, your heart is deceitful. He says, who can know it? Your heart. That your heart. That you think you know, you don't know it. Except the Lord reveals it, you don't know it. Have you heard people say, I know myself? You're a liar. You don't know yourself. The history of mankind is that man does not know who he is. He thinks he does, but he really does not know. The Corinthian church were also in this situation where they were doing the things that were right. Praise God. Because 1 Corinthians told us how those guys walked in supernatural. They were doing things that were there. But Paul began to write to them. Certain things were not just adding up to their lives or in their lives. Praise God. He said, examine yourself whether you are what? You are in the faith. Many of us don't take time to evaluate and check our hearts. We assume a lot. I'm cool. You are not cool. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Christ be in you, except you be what? Reprobate. So if you don't know your heart, and you cannot examine your heart, and you cannot prove your heart, you may just destroy yourself at the end of the day. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Why am I so concerned? I'm concerned because, listen, it is not how well you start that matters, it's how you finish. The man has sown the seed for his own destruction. Because the Bible says it was done with what? A perfect heart. Then he told us what he began to do. The Bible says he executed those who had killed his father before. Because there was an instruction, there was a commandment of God that fathers must not die for the son, sons must not die for the fathers.
Every man should bear his own sin. Praise the Lord. And he obeyed that. But that was how far it went. Is your obedience partial? Do you obey the part of the scripture that is convenient for you? Or are you prepared to obey all? Hallelujah. They came to Jesus. And they were asking questions about marriage. And Jesus began to give answers. And they were angry. They said, this is too much for us. It's too ha-ba-ba-ba. And he said, he that can receive it, let him what? Receive it. How far can you go? You know, that was this time he got to a point and he said, they said to eat the flesh of the Son of Man and you drink his blood, you have no life in you. And the Bible, they were offended. And they all walked away. And the disciples remained. And they looked at it. They said, will you not also go? I've not seen a pastor like Jesus who drives away his church members. He's the only pastor I've seen that makes it difficult for you to be a church member. Amen. I won't preach that kind of message to you. Amen. You don't trust me? I won't tell you. I will just tell you, just keep on coming. I know the Lord will change you. Praise God. I've had people preach that kind of message. People in the faith, seniors in the faith. Say, just come as you are. Come as you are. And they came as they were. But they assumed they would change. They never changed. Now to now tell them to go out of the church, they were difficult. Praise God. I can't drive them away because... Amen. CNN, I've seen your church, how big they are. I will not drive the whole church away. What will you tell CNN? Praise God. So they manage everybody. But Jesus didn't do his own like that. So he made it so difficult. Why? Because those were the issues of life that began to separate the boys from the men. It's going to sift. They will put demands upon you and we will know whether you will stand or you will run away. Praise God. I won't forget this thing that Pastor, he was a pastor then. Oyedepo. Now he's bishop. Amen. Many years ago, when they were yet small, it was coming in his B2 and it was raining. I might share the story here before. It was raining. And his associate, Bishop Abioye, was in the rain coming to church. They were both coming to church. Bishop Oyedepo cannot tell me and God that he did not see Abioye. Honestly, can't tell. If he says that, he will face judgment. Praise God. Do you understand me? There are some of you that once I'm driving, by just seeing your figure, I know who you are. So he can't tell me he did not see his pastor. Me, I will stop. Even when it's not raining. But do you know that Pastor Oyedepo did not stop? He drove on. That was a crucial test for Abioye. Whether he will turn back and go home or will proceed with his faith, praise God. That was a turning point. He could have been offended and that would have exposed the nature of his heart. The Bible says offenses will come. People will offend. Tell your neighbor they will offend you. I'm giving you a prophecy. It's a prophecy. Offenses must. It's a must. The package is part of your calling. Tell your neighbor it's part of your calling. I'm not talking about the APC, PDP offense. Those ones they are given or cardia offense. Those ones are natural for all of us. Amen. I'm talking about real offense. Many people that you like, people that you put so much trust in, when they fail, you will be disappointed. Praise God. But the Bible told us that these people, this man, this particular man, did what was right, but it was not with a perfect heart. And how do we begin to see things go wrong? He began to make wrong decisions. The Bible says, a man's ways please the Lord. He will make his enemies be at peace with him. God also makes sure that the path of a righteous man is like a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. It means that you will not make wrong decisions, and people around you will not hurt you. Hallelujah. Am I communicating? And the Bible says, and it came to pass when the kingdom was established, he did what was according to God's word. He killed those people who had committed treason. Because to kill a king is treason. Amen. It's only in Nigeria that they don't punish wicked people. They know you stole money. They know you are in charge of Boko Haram. And nobody will do anything to you if you have the right connections. Praise God. But verse 5 says, And Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captives over 1,000, captives over 100, according to the houses of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin, and numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000. How many? 300,000. That was a lot to count. Praise God. But like I said, it began and he now made a mistake. The Bible said in verse 6, he hired also 100,000. That means that would have made about 400,000, right? Mighty men of valor out of where? Israel. For 1,000 talents of silver. Are you telling me the king did not know about the spiritual and the moral decadence in Israel? Many of us, we do business, we enter business, and we don't mind who we are entering partnership with. We don't mind who we are doing business with, provided money comes into our hands. We don't mind the person we marry, provided I just want to marry. God, I want to marry. I am 50 now. I should marry now. David said, for this God is my God. Will you, because you are under pressure to marry, will you now marry an unbeliever? Will you cast away your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward, because expectations are so much on you? That's a question you must ask yourself. This man was under a pressure to go to war, but he felt inadequate. He had to make up for his numbers. Amen. So it's not where makeup came in. Praise God. He had to make up. Hallelujah. People have been making up. But that makes it wrong. I was just thinking to, I've been thinking and asking myself for God. I thank God I'm not a woman. I don't even know how I would have turned out to be. Praise God. But I can't imagine why you feel inadequate. Why you can't just appreciate what God has done and what he has created. None of us contributed anything to how we were made. Your bone structure, your anything, apart from those of us that know how to eat. And we eat and eat, and then we become as big as this something. That one is a problem. Are you with me? According to my friend, Professor Ibukun, Afo Ofa, he said 95%. That's an hypothesis. We are still working on it. Hallelujah. Everything that happens to you, according to him, you use your own hand to do yourself. Praise God. Those guys in the technical. He had also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for money. See, somebody said when God places an order, he pays for it. But when it is you who place order, you will look for money to pay. Praise God. You will look for that money. When he said, Lord, I want car, and you run and run and run, you will sorry, you will not buy car. That is when police will now collect it. I want to express it. They will now collect the car from you. They say it was a firework. Then you start all over again. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. But what am I trying to say is that when God is not involved with the thing, you'll be the one to pay. And this man paid with this number of silver, of 100 talents of silver. Now look at verse 7. And the Bible said, but there came a man of God. May you never lack a man of God to speak to you. All the days of your life, may you never lack God to send somebody to you. Listen to me. You will make mistakes. You will. Don't let us deceive ourselves. You will make mistakes. But blessed are thou when there are people there that can correct you. It's a blessing, no? It's a blessing. When people are there that can speak to you and say, no, this decision is not right. Don't go that way. Amen. And that was what God did for him. But there came a man of God to him saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel. Can't you discern that God is not with Israel? It doesn't matter. He's a brother. He's a sister. He attends church. He attends all these things. He is in the choir. Amoye. Praise God. Amoye. God is not with Israel. To wit, with all the children of Ephraim. So it's not just this army you brought. All of them, from their king to their goats. God is not there. And next verse, please. But if thou will go, do it. Be strong for the battle. I like this verse. God shall make thee fall. If you persist and insist and determine, go you. But no one thing. God himself will enter that battle and cause your downfall. People don't know that God, praise God. So if you are disobedient, God will catch you. He will make you fail. There are many people that don't know that. The problem they have is not from their father and their mother's house. It is God who is fighting them. Don't think that God fights people, especially his own people. God fights his own people. He treats them. How do I know? Ecclesiastes 5. Say, when you go to the house of God, be careful what you are saying. Don't make a vow. Then you turn around and say, to the agent, but then she read me. Pastor, the agent came so far. I just, what do I go for now? He said, God will destroy the works of your hands. Broken vows. That you voluntarily opened your mouth. Say, God, if you bless me, you will see me, you yourself will like me. God now bless you. Now say, I was just playing now. For the rest of your life, you will struggle. Because God will be resisting you every time. A friend of mine told me of a particular situation that happened. One of their children was born with a disability. And they had done everything. They have seen the best doctors. They've traveled. The baby was no better. And she made a vow. I said, God, if you will heal my daughter, I will crawl from the entrance of the church to the pulpit, singing praises to your name. Is that a big deal? No big deal. And that morning, the lady began to speak fluently. Oh, at the church. Well, that's what we were here. Although I am a prayer, but difficult. But my call was the church, I give testimony. And the baby stopped speaking. See, today, she had a speech impediment. God is God. You don't open your mouth and make rash pronouncements. That's why, listen to me, when you stand on the day of marriage, and I said, with thee I did make this vow. Kai! You have crossed a line you should not have crossed. Because once you cross that line, and you turn around and break that vow, you have killed yourself. Everything you do, God will resist you. So that's why I said, it's not Satan doing them. It is God fighting them. You said, I will give you my body. I will give a... Now, I've attached that to you. And I said, you can't look for another baby. I said, babe, I want to give you my body. You have broken that vow. Praise God. God, if you will open this door, I will give you the first. I don't do it. That was the case there. He said, and God will make thee fall before your enemy. Why? For God had power to help and to do what? To cast down. Don't take God for granted. He has power both to help and to do what? To cast down. But you cannot get help if you don't come on his own terms. Praise God. He must come to him on his own terms. Many of us are not. That's the problem with Israel. Paul was writing in Romans chapter 10, verse 1. He said, look, my desire for Israel is that they may be saved. But the problem with Israel was that they went about establishing their own righteousness. As far as they're concerned, they determined what God should accept. They were the ones who determined it. God, I only come on Sundays. I don't have any business to do with midweek service. You're already doing the same thing that Israel did. I don't have the time. I'm too busy. I can't pray. God, if, I think 5 minutes prayer should be okay with you. Praise God. You are on slippery grounds. You just find that heaven will just keep on resisting you. And they can do it in many ways. They may decide not to even answer you. They may never even know you. You will shout, they will not hear you. I said, but Lord, do you not remember? Do you know that song that this brother wrote? That song, I'm not tasting my bow, and I'm tasting my bow. I like the place where I was talking about Noah. Noah. The Thai friends of Noah came to Noah and said, Noah, open this door. He said, I'm sorry. They shut the door from outside and sealed it and used super glue. Praise God. So those are some of the problems we must understand that we face. Because his heart was not perfect, he had no business calling Israel. And the interesting thing that he went to the war, won the battle, but see what he did. Now, the Bible said they killed quite a number of their enemies and took quite a large number of slaves. That's what the Bible said. They took slaves. I mean, is that not in the Bible? Let's just look at it. Let's go to... praise God. Okay, before they did that, let me look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. He now said, what shall I do with the money I have spent inviting these people? I have spent so much money. I've invested so much. Listen to me. I want to ask this very simple question. You were planning to go to Abuja and you entered the bus at the park, and because you were tired, you went to bed. Praise God. And you were sleepy. I beg your pardon. You just slept on. And you found yourself in Ore when you woke up. What do you do? Continue with the journey? Just makes simple sense. Praise God. He said, I've expended so much. I have done so much. I've committed so much into this relationship. I've committed so much into this lifestyle. I've committed so much into this path in life. I can't go back. I can't go back. It's too costly. I've invested so much, Lord. Listen to me, it doesn't matter what much you have invested in doing the wrong things. You must stop and change. And this was that's the point, and this is the lesson we have been told here. And the man of God answered, said, the Lord is able. Tell your neighbor, he's able. He's able. But Father, this relationship, we have become when we were very small. And now that we have become almost 30, I want to marry, but the guy is not born again. It doesn't matter, Pastor, he's a very nice guy. A clear-cut instruction of the Spirit. Say, what accord as light with darkness? They are not middle ground, though. There's no nice darky. There are no nice darky. Once you are not born again, you are in darkness. They say you are in darkness. They say you are darkness. You were once darkness. Amen. It would have been good if we were in darkness. You were a generator of darkness. So that is nice. Don't go there. Praise God. We are talking about righteousness this morning. That certain people align their lives with the expectations of God. And it was considered as righteousness. Amen. This is righteousness. It says if you will, say God is able to give thee if you will just do what is right. Don't mind what you will lose. Let it go. And he allowed it to go. Praise God. Look at the next verse. And Amaziah separated them to which the army that was come out, that was come to him out of Ephraim to go home again. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled. Praise God. They will be angry with you. They will put you out. They will not even talk to you again. The contract you are believing God for, you won't get it. In fact, they will tell you, let me tell you, they will swear that if you get any contract in this country again, their father didn't born them. Praise God. This is a breakthrough you have been waiting for, but you say you are not doing it again. Hallelujah. God is able. Pastor, God will remember you. That your decision you took not to go to Katsina, God will remember you for good in Jesus' name. And the Bible says, Amaziah strengthened himself, that was verse 11, led his people to the battle and smote the children of Seir 10,000. And then another 10,000, verse 12, they left alive. I don't know why they left those 10,000 alive, only to have them cast from the top of the mountain down and have all of them killed. I don't know why. They would have just turned them into slaves and they would have given them more money. Praise God. But you know, now this is where the thing becomes more interesting. Verse 14. This is where it gets more very interesting. And it came to pass, after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, what did he do? What did he bring back? The abominations of the Edomites. And not only did he bring it back, what did he do? He bowed down and burned incense unto them. What did I be with me? He didn't. From his father's house. Are you with me? Does that make sense? I said they had before, every nation goes to war with their gods. And if your God is stronger than the other gods, you prevail in battle. Because matters are settled in the realm of the spirit before you see the physical manifestation. It doesn't matter how many you are. You were not aware. I read some stories about the Second World War, the Battle of London, Battle of Great Britain, when the Germans invaded England. It was a blitz. Ah, it was terrible. But you know what happened? At the beginning of the war, Germans were defeating everybody that came their way, including the British. But Churchill kept saying, we will fight them. We'll fight them in the air. We'll fight them on the land. We'll fight them in the sea. We'll fight them anywhere. But you know what Churchill did? Churchill announced that people should pray every 12 o'clock in the day to God and ask God for help. Every day they were praying. They were bombing and killing them, but they were praying. But you know the interesting thing, when how that siege was broken, some German pilots were captured. They tried to hide it. And those Germans were asking, where did Britain get people to fly their planes? It was not actually the British pilots that shot them down. They didn't know what was fighting against them. Indians were fighting. But there was a particular pilot that said they had killed a pilot. And yet his plane was still flying. And he didn't see what was flying it. And the guy was flying and was shooting down Germans. Praise God. You guys didn't know what happened to the war. Angels came to battle. They were summoning powers to battle. Hitler was summoning demons. Britain and America were summoning God. So don't think it's the technology that they were pressing buttons. Buttons don't win war. That's the go-go nonsense, eh? Don't let them intimidate you. Do you know that during the first Iraq war, Gulf War, Iraq sent a lot of missiles to Israel. None of them detonated. None. And they all entered sand. Think that you were supposed to fly about 300 kilometers, flew about 200 and ditch into the... So that's about just taking it and dropping it. You're just taking and dropping it. Okay, would you last one? Nobody goes to war without spirits. You must go to your war with your own God. So when you're going for business, go with your God. Benny, I come against you in the name of God of Israel, who myself. Oh yeah, release that thing. Praise God. And if there are some people disturbing you in your business, just tell the Lord to go and shut them down. I'm going to shut the business. I'm going to shut the business. I'm going to town. Amen. Everybody does that. But why will Amaziah now bring back the gods of the Edomites? The clue is in that verse 2. He was never convinced. He was never, never convinced. He acted because the prophet exhorted him. Do you follow me? And when the prophet was not there, the real thing came out. It's also called the demon or the gods of self-help. You see that in the life of Brother Saul. Samuel told him, wait for me, I will come in 7 days. It was there. Not like that prophet, that Elisha guy. All those terrible human beings. Very terrible. They knocked the ground. He didn't tell them how many times. The man had knocked three. That said, and God said he became rough. Ah! How would he have known, sir? He said he expected him to know. That at least 7. That guy is a terrible man. You know, come across them. You don't even know when you are right or wrong. And once they are wrong, they will just pronounce judgment. Now your case is finished. And then we back them up. That's the sad thing. They will back them up. Ha! Hey, boss, Lord. Shut up. You have spoken. That's it. Next. Amen. So, observe that people were living. His army were sleeping. They were awoke. They were running away in the night. They would just sleep out. So when you call parade, how many are on parade ground? 300 yesterday, today 200. Ah, they've gone. Ah, and he was going, And so security formation was going, sir. These were on the ground. They are not sure God is with them. On the 7th day, Saul could not wait any longer. He carried sacrifice. Offered the sacrifice. At that point, Samuel showed up. Ah, Samuel saw the what did you do? So, I offered to your God. That's the problem. He kept saying, your God is your God. Now, look at, go and read his life now. It was always your God. God never was his God. So don't be surprised that they rejected him. Amen. Never is God. Again, I offer to your God. When we went to the battle, I brought this thing back for your God. Be careful. Is it the God of Israel you want to worship or your own God? When will he become your own God? Praise the Lord. It's personal conviction. You must settle that matter yourself. I can't do more than preach to you and encourage you, but man, once nobody's there, you're on your own. It is then we will know whether you actually have a faith. Like Paul was writing to the Corinthians, examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. This man was not there. He brought the gods and bowed down and burned incense unto them. Praise God. Verse 15. And that same prophet came. Hallelujah. And wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah. And he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, why art thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thy hand? Praise God. Many of you don't know that God is intelligent. So it's not every time a prophet comes around and says, thus saith the Lord. You just ask him a simple question. Amen. So why? They could not deliver them out of your hands, and yet you are bowing down to them, you are paying obeisance, you are acknowledging them as something fantastic, more than God. Listen to me, I've come to realize something about the God we serve. He doesn't like to be second. He doesn't like to share spot or the limelight. He says he's jealous. He's the only one that has right
to be jealous.
Amen. Do you not know the God that is inside of you? Is this strive to envy? I heard the Bible put it. He lost to envy. Do you know what envy is? Do you know what lust is? Those are terminologies that are very negative. Yeah, the Bible says that is God for you. He envies. Praise God. I don't know, you are not married. But listen, if you are married, you must have worked in Hollywood enough, more than me. Can you imagine a man that is driving his car and is now seeing baby? His wife is there and he says, "Ka kabala raba tore bababa." If he's a good wife, they call funik down to reflect his head. Praise God. Why would that wife do that? He's lost her to envy. How can you give attention? Praise God. So that's God for you. For the mere fact that you are entertaining thoughts that puts him out of the limelight of your life, you can trigger him to envy. And when he begins to envy, he can give you barren. Just slap your head back. Where are you set? Praise God. Praise God. Do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? He's an envious God and a very jealous one. They will not tolerate. And this is one lesson we all must learn. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't love God. And I pray God will give us a balance. Praise God. Having food and raiment, Paul said, let us be therewith contented. Have I told you the story of an American that went to somewhere, I think it was the Philippines, and he saw these fishermen, and they came in around 10 o'clock, got their fishes, sorted them out, went to the market, sold them, and by afternoon they were enjoying themselves. And the American said, "What are you guys doing? Why are you doing like this?" He said, "What's the problem?" He said, "Instead of you, no, after you have come, the money you make, you go and buy a bigger boat." Praise God. Then when you buy a bigger boat, then what do? You get more fish. Okay. When we get more fish, then the money you now invest, praise God, in stocks and everything. Hallelujah. You will take my real. Okay, for me 5 minutes. Give me 5 minutes. And you invest. Hey, say, when have I done? Then you now relax and enjoy yourself. The guy said, "What am I doing now?" What am I doing now? Why must I kill myself? Why must I wait till then? Praise God. I mean, listen to me. You're a multi-billionaire. We do drive two cars. One leg here. You're driving two cars. Can it be done? You live in two houses at the same time. You? Two rooms. You can't live in two rooms. Have you? Okay. I built. Somebody built room. That room is as from there. Laco. That room is from there to this kind of place. That's how big the room is. Bed, what did you do with all this place? Oh, what? Very bad set. Very bad football set. Amen. Man. Only God knows what he created. Praise God. Amen. Let's finish with Amaziah. And so Amaziah said, "You are not," he told the prophet, "you are not made of the king's counselor. I didn't ask for your counsel. Shut your mouth up." And the prophet said, "Now I know that God is determined to destroy you." You know why God is determined? They dare to use it for sample. May they not use it as an example. You know, when we were in school that time, when you had to do maths, you have one example, second example. Abi? Uh-huh. How come Abi don't like maths? They're already showing themselves. May you not be example number three. How not to do it? Praise God. Say, you're not my counselor. Did I appoint you as a counselor? Are you a pastor to be talking to me? Are you okay? Don't let me take your head off. And the guy said, okay, fine. Don't be angry, sir.
But I know that God is timing to kill you.
See, may your ears not be deaf. May you not be insensitive. When God is speaking, say, once that the Lord spoken, twice I heard. May you have the ability to hear twice. If there's any prayer that I want to pray for you today, that one prayer is one prayer I pray. That you will have the ability to hear twice. In the name of Jesus. If he had repented at this point, I want to believe that God will not have destroyed him. So how did God destroy him? The covering over his life. You see, you don't understand. We learned that from David. I'm closing. Praise God. The Bible says Satan came and provoked David to number Israel. It was against God's word. And Joab knew that this is not right, sir. This thing you are doing, something just didn't sit well with his commander. He said, this thing you are doing is not right. Don't do this. But the Bible says the word of the king prevailed. Praise God. And after he did it, judgment came. Then David said, I have done wrong. Even with his, I have done wrong. It was not his household that God killed. It was people that knew nothing about his transgression. That's why Bible says pray for our leaders, so that they don't sit down there and say everything, you know. Like our president said that we should accommodate our brethren, the Fulani men. Even they are even killing, just accommodate them. You don't know why they took guns away from us, so that when they come, we'll not be able to fight them. But that's political. Where am I going to? It's this simple fact. He said, God was determined to kill him. What did he do? A thought entered his mind. I want to fight the king of Israel. Praise God. How many of you have heard about Orumoru? Baba Sala? After he had become rich, a thought entered his mind. Why can't he not become the second Calabash to the Almighty God? Have you heard about climbing tree, banana leaf? You don't read that Ogun Gikoja? Why would that wicked thought enter your mind? Of all the nations around, it is the king of Israel you want to fight. He now opened mouth and said, let us see. And the guy said, we are not on the same level. Just because you defeated the sons of Edomites, don't think that I'm on the same level with them. He said, let us see. Yes, okay, let us see. And the Bible said that God discomfited them. They were defeated in battle. But you know the sad thing, how it ended, the Bible said he still kept doing wickedly and he still did not repent. He could not trace the whole tragedy to that singular heart condition that he had. And how did he die? Let us look at how he died. Look at the end. Look at the second to the last verse, verse 27. Now after that time. Now you see, after the king of Israel died, he still lived additional 15 years. And with those 15 years, he never thought it proper to seek the God of his fathers. Have you been angry before and you say you will not pray? You have not gotten there before. I think the problem. Say, how can I pray? I'm not praying. Who are you doing? It's yourself. You are doing yourself. I won't pray. I won't pray. Be throwing tantrums. I won't pray. You will kill yourself. The Bible says God had to enter the whole matter. Now after that time, Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord. They made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem. And they fled to Lachish. But they sent to Lachish. I hope I got that pronunciation. After him and slew him there. He didn't end well. He had no business ending like this. But the seed for this fall was sown in verse 2. It took 29 years before everything came to fruition. And it ended disastrously. Don't let us go that path. Let us be careful. Let us present our hearts before God.
and ask God, search my heart. You don't know your heart. Except the Lord searches it, you don't know. If you are not convinced, that even if, and that's why God put the book of Job there. Job said, even though it slays me, I will yet praise him. What is it that is that expectation? That even if God fails, you are still saying it doesn't still matter. You must get there. Can we bow our heads to pray? Can we pray?
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.